Welcome to the Hanford Dixon Show. I'm Gabriella Cruz alongside the top dog. It's good to see you, my friend. It's been a minute. How was your Browns cruise?
Gabby, I tell you what, it was just absolutely fabulous. Anytime you have a chance to go and just mingle and sit down and talk to a bunch of Browns fans, just makes it really, really great. Because what we do is I could tell you this, it was a lot more work than I really thought it was going to be. I mean, it was good. It was good. Don't get me wrong. But it was a lot of work. Just to give you an example, every night you had to sit down and have dinner with a table of about 10 to 12 Browns fans. And each one of them, man, I tell you, they could sit there and you can't go anywhere and they could just drill you. I mean, yeah. Absolutely drill you with questions after question after question after question. And you're sitting there and you're answering. And we had a good time, but I just couldn't go anywhere. You know, yeah. I was just right there. So that was good. And then we...
So you got peppered with questions, huh?
Yes.
They put you on the hot seat.
Yes. Yes, they did. They put us on the hot seat. And then there were autograph sessions. Sometimes as many as two a day. And you're just sitting there and you're in this room. And boy, I tell you, you're talking about long, long lines. And, you know, you get a chance to, again, the questions. And then... autographs and then take some pictures with them. And
I know you had the longest line.
I did. And what they did, they pretty much came through all of us, though. But Browns fans, as you know, I don't have to tell you, they're just a special breed. I mean, they really are. And they're very, very passionate about their Browns team. And I had and just the Browns colors. I mean, they came and they had on their outfits and their colors, and I think we pretty much took over this ship, because I want to say the ship, and I don't have to tell you, you've been on a cruise before?
No.
Okay. Bones, you've been on a cruise before?
I have not.
You guys, these ships are huge.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
Now, can you tell that you're, like,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, when you went to sleep? Could you be like...
And I still... Well, you know, there's a lot of drinking going on, too.
Oh, okay, so sure. You were already...
So when you sleep, you're asleep. You know, you don't feel it. But
you had enough crown, right?
I had enough crown. But I can tell you this. It still feels... I think I'm finally right now starting to get over it, because I was sitting there the other day and I said, man, I feel like I'm still on that ship. I feel like I'm still swaying and moving. But I was surprised, because... normally, a lot of people, when you go on a cruise ship and you go on a cruise, you get sick.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I didn't, I don't recall anyone on that ship coming and say, hey, they got sick or they felt sick, or especially not any of the boys.
Yeah.
But it was, and on that ship, you're not going to miss any meals. I could tell you that. Okay. You're not going to miss any meals.
I was going to say, you got the oversized hoodie on, because yeah, you got a little food baby still.
Hey, what's wrong with you? You be nice over there. I thought I'd like you, but maybe I'm going to change my mind. But, you know, there's three meals a day. Obviously, there's breakfast.
Oh, that's nice. What did you have? I'm so excited to hear.
They're like buffets. I mean, okay, you go in there and I was surprised, because I like grits. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably like oatmeal.
It's too bland.
Because if you like oatmeal, you don't like grits. If you like grits, normally,
I like butter. And,
the grits. They had grits. They had sausages. They had bacon. They have eggs. They have omelet. I mean, you know, toast. And then there's all the pastries. I mean, just everything they had on the ship. If you want something to eat, it was there. And, of course, lunch, there's a buffet. And then dinner, there's a buffet. And you go back and you can go many times as you want. But they also... they also had some really nice steakhouse they had on the ship. They also had hibachi.
Whoa.
Yeah, they had hibachi. So they had, and you can eat, this is what's crazy, they had the best pizza in the world. And they served that pizza pretty much 24/7, and that was a mistake. And they served them on like little thin crust.
Oh, I love thin crust.
Yeah, and they only had pepperoni and the pepperoni two kinds. You can get pepperoni or just cheese. And I'm telling you, that pizza line stay packed.
This is so detailed. I'm sure anyone watching is going to go get some snacks now.
So I could tell you, I mean, if you should just really, really go on a cruise if you haven't been on one, because it's just absolutely fabulous. And I'm surprised you haven't asked me about the port that we hit.
I was going to ask which players
came. I know
it
was coming. But we went to, we were in Jamaica.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We were in the Bahamas. And we had beach parties, and we pretty much just absolutely had a blast. And you could spend a lot of money on these cruises too,
because
they have all kind of little shops and things. They had all those Louis Vuitton purses you like.
Ooh.
That was that was right there. So you know you shouldn't have been there, because you'd have spent too much money. So you you did right to stay and not
you take me for a Louis Vuitton girl,
right? And not go on this cruise. But Gabby, and to just sum it all up, it was really, really fun. Had a good time with the boys.
Yeah, which boys went?
It was, let me see, we had myself, Reggie Langhorne was there, Josh was there, mm-hmm. Kevin Mack was there, Felix Wright was there, we had John Hughes, we had, he's huge. You remember I was telling you about him?
Webster?
No, big guy.
John Greco?
John Greco was there, but he was a defensive tackle. I think we've had him on the show a couple times. Come on, guys.
Okay, wait, let me think
talking about
Jamie Meter.
No, come on. I can't believe I can't think of his name.
Give me the first initial.
He's going to kill me. I mean, he's huge, huge, huge.
We had him on?
Yeah, he was on with Nick.
I don't know.
I told you, and you called his name.
I did?
Yeah. Oh. Phil Taylor.
Oh, Phil Taylor.
Yeah, Phil was there. But it was...
he's not that huge.
Well, he's pretty big. But it was it was about 16 of us on that on this cruise. And again...
I know you guys, you hooligans, had a good time.
We had a great time, and it was just good just sitting down, talking to the guys, and just laughing and talking, and all the... camaraderie, just fun, just absolutely fun.
Cool. Well, let's take a break, because when we get back, we can break down a little bit more Browns specific and talk about free agency, you know, some of the moves that have been made, and get your thoughts.
You got it.
All right. Thanks for watching. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. I'm Gabriella Cruz alongside the Top Dog. I know you had so much fun
Hold on. Hold on. You didn't say anything about my tan.
Oh, I was going to say you have a little glow to you, but I don't know if that's just because you got in a good nap. He's got jokes.
I couldn't help it with that.
Okay. You threw me an absolute curveball, and that is freaking hilarious.
Look at her. She's turning red over there. Come on.
It's funny because we prepare for our segments, right, and at no point did I see this coming.
Right.
Oh, man.
Okay, good.
You had too much pizza.
I know it.
Let's talk a little bit Browns here, speaking of sun brown tan. Our jokes are so bad. We're such losers. Okay. Browns, ton of news here, Hanford. What do you think about the Jerry Jeudy trade?
You know, I'm pretty excited about it because he's a guy, I mean, you guys know, and I don't make it a secret that I'm a huge, huge Alabama fan. And obviously that's where Jerry Jeudy played his college ball, and he was a phenomenal wide receiver with the Alabama Crimson Tide. And here is what's interesting. When Jerry Jeudy was coming out of college, he was a guy that the Browns had pretty high on their board. And he was a guy that they wanted to draft. So it's just funny now that you can circle back, and now we have this guy as part of our team. I mean, now we have two great two Alabama wide receivers, obviously Amari Cooper. And if you talk to Jerry Jeudy, I listened to some of the things he said. He's really, really excited about being here. He's happy to be here. He's really, really happy to play with Amari Cooper. And Amari Cooper is a guy that he's pretty much patterned his game after. So he's looked up to. So he's really, really happy. And we, I think we just restructured his contract too, so he's excited and he's ready to go, and I'm really, really happy about having him. I think it's just amazing addition to our football team.
I think it'll be a nice fresh chapter for him, and like you said, him and Amari being good buddies and him looking up to Amari, that's going to be some good energy.
Yeah, and you know what, Gab, it's always good to try to get some more weapons for Deshaun. I mean, we want him to have as many weapons as he can on that offense to try to make his job a little bit easier. And obviously, the first thing with him, and I know we're not talking about him, but he needs to stay healthy. And if he's healthy, then with all the weapons that he has, that'll make this offense really, really click. Because we want to get Nick Chubb back, and the big question is whether or not after those two surgeries, you know, on that same knee, who knows what's going to happen and how he's going to respond coming back. But hopefully, knowing Nick the way he is, he'll be back. So looking at that offense with that with the good offensive line, with Nick back in the backfield, and the addition of Jerry Jeudy, to answer your question, I think that's a good thing.
How about the Browns signing Jameis Winston over Joe Flacco? Do you think that was the right move?
Well, it's funny, you know, talking to a lot of people, there's a lot of mixed feelings over this whole thing, because I think we all wanted to see Joe Flacco come back and be a part of this team, especially after what he did, how he energized his team, got everybody ready to go. But you know what? I think the Browns are looking at this whole thing about the money, too. And I think when bringing in Jameis Winston, I think he's going to cost us only about $4 million. And I think if we'd have brought back Joe Flacco, it had to be somewhere in that $11 million range. I think that's where he was looking. But I'm not opposed to us having Jameis, because I think this kid could play. I mean, obviously, he could play. And I think the Browns are just making sure that they don't have a problem. He's just an insurance, just in case our guy get hurt, Deshaun gets hurt. So I think we'd be okay.
Yeah, they want that quarterback position to have some insurance, like you said. Tyler Huntley also.
Yeah, and that's what I was laughing right before you said that name, because I mean, when you look at that quarterback room, what are we going to do with some of these guys? Because DTR, for instance, he's a guy that we drafted, and he was supposed to be the future.
Well, what's the Steelers going to do with all their people? We'll get to them. But yeah, they got this stocked quarterback room for sure. How about this, Hanford? Mike Vrabel was hired to be a consultant. Do you think that places a little added pressure on Kevin Stefanski?
Well, this is funny. I mean, this is really, really funny, because this is a move that really shocked me. I mean, it really...
Yeah, why do you think he took a lower position?
Really, really shocked me, because you talked about a guy who was just a head coach in the National Football League, and now he's on our staff. If you're Stefanski, I don't care if you did just win Coach of the Year. I mean, come on. I mean, you got him. You got him waiting in the wings, and then you also have a defensive coordinator, Jim, who is right there. So you got two guys, really, that are capable of being
a head coach. Yeah.
So Stefanski's saying, but I can't imagine them making this move and bringing him in without Stefanski giving them his okay on this whole thing. So I thought it was interesting. I think the more minds that you have on this football team can only make this football team better. So I say bring it on, and let's roll with it.
All right. Yeah, I'm with you on that. We've got these higher level thinking minds in the house. You're right. Do you think the Browns are done making moves until the draft?
You know what? You never know. I mean, these teams right now, I mean, if you look across the board, I mean, they're constantly making moves, each and every one of them. Going back and I know you're headed in this direction, so I'm gonna go there real quick, talking about the AFC North.
Yes.
And this is very, very interesting, Gabby. The AFC North was strong as before all these teams, before free agency, before everybody start making their moves. Right now, the AFC North is really, really strong. Let's go with the Pittsburgh Steelers, for instance.
Man, look what they got cooking over there, okay? The traded sixth-round pick for Justin Fields.
Yeah. The Pittsburgh Steelers are set at quarterback right now. I mean, they got Justin Fields, who I don't care what anybody say. I think Chicago is crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy for letting that guy go, because they just didn't put a lot of players around him, a lot of players to help him. I think he's a good player. I think he's going to be a good player in this league. And also, you got Russell Wilson, who they bought over there, who's also the quarterback. I think Russell's the one that's going to start on that team, and I think Justin's going to back him up. But the Pittsburgh Steelers is nothing but getting stronger. And they got, you know, they got a good cornerback. And then to go away from them, you got those Baltimore Ravens. Let me tell you something. The Baltimore Ravens signed obviously you got Nick Chubb, but other than Nick Chubb, I mean, when you're talking about running the football, Derrick Henry. Mm. I mean, Derrick Henry is just a big, brutal back. And when you got Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry running that football, I mean, I'm talking about the Ravens are going to be tough.
They're going to be tough.
And they're always tough.
We're going to have Ozzy on.
Well, we got to have him. And I kind of knew about that move that Derrick Henry was going to the Baltimore Ravens.
Man, before. He's such a weapon.
I just say wait in the wings, dog. Wait in the wings. We're working on it. But the Ravens, again, you expect them to be tough. The Ravens should have won the Super Bowl, but I think they beat themselves. Then also, the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, Joe Burrow come back. You're talking about another team that's going to be. I don't understand T. Higgins' problem, though. I really don't understand his problem. My understanding, he wanted to be traded. They just franchise tagged him. And when they put that tag on him, he's going to make, I think, $24 million this year. I guess he want a long-term deal. Just sit tight. They're going to be able to give you that deal. But the AFC North is strong. It's going to be strong. And with all the moves that were just made, Gabby, it's going to be, I think, one of the strongest, if not the toughest division in the National Football League.
We got a ton of moves. All right, Hanford, thanks for getting into it. And we also have a cool interview that you were able to film on your Browns cruise. So we'll have to tease that at some point. But you sitting down with Webster Slaughter, I know, was a great conversation.
Great conversation. Really enjoyed talking to him, because he's a guy that I used to go against in practice all the time. And one of the questions I had for him, I heard him say on the cruise that he didn't know in the beginning that he was a good enough wide receiver to make the National Football League. And I, you know what I told him? I said, all you had to do was ask me, because the first time I got down to cover you, I knew then that you were good enough.
Oh, that's cool. Well, we're looking forward to that interview. Thank you so much for watching. That'll be coming up on the Hanford Dixon Show. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. I'm Gabriella Cruz alongside the Top Dog. We know you had such a good interview on this Browns cruise with Webster Slaughter, so we're going to cut just to that.
This is the Hanford Dixon Show. We're on a cruise here, a ship, with my boy Webster. As you guys know him, Webster used to play a wide receiver for the Browns, and he and I had those classic battles, and practice made each other better. Web, what you been up to?
Well, I'm a pastor now at Kings Pavilion Ministries in Missouri City, Texas. Got my pastor and some of my family here on the cruise with me. Then I'm also on the side, do some like river tables, making stuff like that. But I'm more into the ministry. I go and see living facilities, three different ones, once a week. And I do ministry there on the memory care side, the assisted living side, and also independent side.
Okay, well, I know you was telling me a little bit about those tables, and before we finish here, I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit more, and if someone want and where they can find those tables, that'd be great.
Have you had a chance to follow the Cleveland Browns anyway? I know you're not here and you don't follow them on a daily basis, but...
I'm always looking after them. We went up to the watch party when they played the Texans up there in Chicago. They had me up there. And also we come down about two or three times a year maybe, and we get a chance to see them here, if not at the game, on television for sure. But we're always watching them. We were excited this year to give them a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, it fell short for them, but we look forward to next year. Lord's willing, we'll get it together.
You know what, I was sitting here laughing to myself when I heard you were telling the story about when your rookie season and you didn't know whether or not you were good enough. And I was sitting there laughing because I wanted to say, all he had to do was ask me. Because the first time that I jumped in and I was bumping running you, I knew then the star that you were going to be, because you're just so fluid. And I could just see it right now, how Webster just getting away from the jam. And you didn't really have a problem getting away from the jam from a lot of defensive backs that was trying to jam.
But you know, I didn't really know what to expect when I came here. Mm-hmm. And as far as not having the confidence to know, all I knew I could do was I had to fight my way through to get it there. You know, I didn't know that I had the talent that I had, to be honest with you. But I thought, I ain't going home. So whatever I got to do, I'm going to stay. But we had a wonderful time going against the secondary we had in Top Dog, Minifield, and then Flex over there. It was a serious wake-up call for me, but a blessing also, because it taught me to learn from the best. So when I faced people on game day, it was like cake for me as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I always like to ask a lot of the professional athlete this question, because I know when it kicked in for me. But you, when did you really, really, you know, I know you know, from high school to college, and then when did it really kick in for you that you knew that you were good enough to be a professional football player?
You know, I thought after my junior year of college, I had a chance maybe to make it. And then really, you don't really know until you actually get in actual games. And so that first rookie year, those games against those Pittsburgh Steelers and how pumped they were, and then the game that we won the game in an overtime catch by me, it was sort of me saying, okay, maybe I can do this long time, you know? And so that's probably when I had the most confidence.
Is there one particular play or anything that that you made that stands out in your mind that take you way back and make you feel pretty good?
You know, I always point back to my rookie year, because rookie year, I didn't know much about what I could do. And so in the rookie year against the New York Jets, when we were down by 10 points in a playoff game, and I catch that pass on the, two or three yard line to send us into overtime. I remember that definitely. And because of the angst of the fans against the Pittsburgh Steelers, all those games I remember and had great memories of those and any division opponent, really, because we really had to bear down on them.
Well, can you believe that we didn't win, that we didn't go to the Super Bowl? I mean, three AFC championship games. I mean, I still today have to touch myself, and I just can't believe that we just didn't get over that.
Just imagine, my first 4 years in the league, I played in three AFC championship games.
Wow.
Can you imagine we've just gone to one of them? You know what I mean? And the way we lost, that's the thing that kind of gets me. We had opportunities in each one of them to go to the Super Bowl, and we failed there. But I'm really proud of the team we had put together on field. And obviously the fans are, they come out in droves to appreciate us, and we appreciate them too. So, yeah.
Anything you want to say to the Cleveland fans? Obviously, I know you miss them because you were in town. Did you do the guitar one game, or you did?
I sure did. Yeah,
hey,
I
don't know. That's kind of dangerous at first, isn't it?
Stuff flying everywhere. But you know what? Our fans are the best in the world. I say that, and people say that, and they think it's in jest, but it's not. You know, I played in five different teams, and Kansas City they have good fans. The Oilers had good fans, but none of them compare to these fans. I mean, it's a new breed, and being dogs is good to say that. They're new breeds, and they raise their children up in the Browns culture. And so this cruise is one of the most eye-opening things that I've experienced with these fans. They are so passionate, even more than I even thought. But I appreciate them just as much as they enjoyed watching us.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about real quick. We are, as you guys don't know, we are on a cruise right now on the seaside. And there's 16 of us ex-players, and we're interacting with the fans. And how have your experience been? I didn't know it was going to be, like you said, this much fun.
Right.
But I've had a pretty good time here.
Absolutely. A couple fans came up to me on the beach yesterday and said, "Wow, man, I didn't think we'd be able to get this close to you guys, be able to touch Hanford Dixon and Webster Slaughter and stuff like that." And so I said, this is what this whole thing was about, us mending the bridge or closing the gap between the fans and the players. And we know how much they love us. We wanted to share with them how much we love them.
Well, you know why I'm laughing? Because I got to tell you this. You don't know I got some of that footage of you. You know, if, for you guys don't know, we did these games interacting with the fans. And Webb, you had, I just can't do it. I can't wait to show some of that of you having that.
We had a blast, though, Doc.
But tell us now, getting to the end of this thing, tell us about, you say you were, what are you making, and how do we find out about it?
Well, I don't have the information for you to send you to now.
Okay.
But what I'm making is river tables. I make bistro tables. I make desks. I make dining tables. I make a couple of dining tables. One dining table I'm making now has authentic artifacts from Africa inset in it, with also some spears from Congo, from the Congo antique spears, and set in resin and wood slabs. So I do that. I will try to get the information to you, and maybe you can put it out later.
Yeah, yeah, you get that information to me, and we will put it out and make sure everybody can see that. But Big Dog, I just got to tell you, man, I've been trying to get you on the show. I know you've been busy, but really appreciate you spending your time. And I just thought it was just so inspirational, because I am a very, very, very religious guy, because I tell everybody, I remember first when I left home, one thing my mom and dad gave me was a Bible, and I never will forget it. They said, "Son, if you keep God first in your life, everything else will work out for you."
And that's something I learned over my lifetime too, man. Put God first and everything else will be added to you. Everybody needs to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, and I know I'm not perfect. I don't do things the way I'm supposed to do all the time. But God's grace is sufficient for us. It abounds more wherever our sin abounds. And so I can count on that when I can't count on me.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Webster Slaughter.
Amen. Love you, Top Dog.
You too, my friend. Thank you, baby. Man. Okay. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Great interview, Hanford. I know you meant to say just pinch yourself.
Well, that was for you. That part was for you.
That was very well
done. You're still laughing about that one.
We gave him a hard time. We know we're always joking with you. Really well done. And what a cool guy. You know, he had to go into his preacher mode a little bit.
You know what he did? And I didn't tell you this, but, you know, there were an actual wedding on the ship. And this couple, obviously, they're Browns fan, and they wanted to get married. And Webster was the one that
officiated
the service. Wow. And, you know, it was just great. I mean, it was all exciting, and we all was right there. And they said, who, you know, the part where who give this couple away or whatever.
Yeah.
And all 16 of us stood up, and we said, we do.
Oh, that's
and,
so cool.
It was pretty, pretty cool to see Webster just do the service. But he is just such a grounded guy right now. And Gabby, you never really got a chance to watch him play, but let me tell you something. They didn't come any better than Webster Slaughter at that wide receiver position. And I meant everything I said, because during practice, I mean, myself, Frank Minifield, we would go against Webster Slaughter, Brian Brennan, and Reggie Langhorne, just to name a few of those guys. And we felt that if we can cover those guys, we can cover anyone on the other teams that we're going against. And I think what we did was, I think we all made each other better, as far as, because we practice hard. I mean, we really practice hard. Not like these guys today. I mean, hell, I mean, they don't even practice. I mean, they haven't made right now. I mean, they really haven't made.
You guys were getting at each other in practice.
Well, because you look
banged up.
Yeah, because you look at it, and I don't want to call them soft, I really don't.
But you do.
But I do. But I do. I mean, they hurt a knee. They hurt. And I understand if you can't practice, you can't play, you can't play. But we played through a lot of injuries, because I remember one game, I think Ronnie Lott, who was the great cornerback and then moved to safety with San Francisco. I think Ronnie was so tough. He just, you know, one game he just cut off his finger.
And I remember you.
You remember that? I mean, he cut off his finger and he just went back in the game. And now you're talking about a tough son of a gun. I mean, he was really, really tough. But that's just the mentality that we had back then. But now you got the NFLPA, which is the league right now. The union can't do nothing with these guys. They can only practice so many days in training camp. They can only wear pads so many days. And we were just there every single day in our pads, and we were just ready to go.
It's cool to hear those old times, old stories.
It is, but don't be sneaking calling me old over there.
I'm sorry,
okay?
I wasn't calling
you old. I could tell you had it in your eyes.
way back then.
Trying to call me, talking about way. It wasn't way I'm back kidding. Then. It doesn't seem that I long mean, ago to me.
Just,
it might seem,
you know, a few years ago, back then. Thanks for sharing that interview, Hanford. We're going to talk a little free agency when we come back. Thanks for watching the Hanford Dixon Show. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. We're just going to chat about some free agency here and some of the moves that the Browns made. Gotta love the re-signing of Za'Darius Smith. Locked him up for 2 years this time, and he's getting paid pretty good, over $23 million.
Yeah, I anytime you're going to sign a pass rusher, you know, I have something in my heart that's I feel that kind of vibe and special vibe for those guys, because me being a cornerback, I mean, those guys, you have to have them, and they can make our jobs, those guys in the backfield, a lot easier. And Za'Darius, he's one of those guys that, he really came on late, I thought. He really started to play a lot better toward the end of the season. And anytime, I think him and Myles Garrett, I think they complement each other really, really well. And I think Za'Darius is really happy about coming back to Cleveland by re-signing with the Browns and being back in Cleveland, because I think one of the things that he said there's something special brewing in that locker room, talking about him, Miles, Harris, and a bunch of the guys that's playing on that defensive line. And you guys know me, what I've always said, and it still hasn't changed. I said the game of football is controlled and started on the offensive and defensive line of scrimmage. That's where the game is truly, truly played. And we have him, and I'm just happy that he's a big part of that defense. The only thing the only problem I had, and you guys know, with that defense, is just for some reason we play really, really good football at home, and then we go on the road and we just can't get it together. I just don't understand that. I just don't understand why this team doesn't travel well. And I thought that Stefanski and Jim, that they would be able to solve that problem, but they haven't. And that's one of the big things I think that we have to do this year. We have to get them able to travel and go on the road and play. But go ahead.
I was going to say, one guy who still always played well on the road was J.O.K., and Schwartz wants him to play every down. And, you know, we also have Devin Bush and Jordan Hicks within those linebackers. But I really think J.O.K. is going to shine as a leader this year.
Gabby, I am so happy you mentioned him. I am so happy you mentioned him, because that guy, I mean, he is just, he's turned himself into just a dynamite player, a phenomenal player. He's a smart player, because if you watch him, he knows what's coming, what the team is trying to do to him and do to the defense before it even happened. And that's the way you could tell whether or not a player really, really studies and really prepares himself and get ready to play. And that's one thing about J.O.K. He's really turned into a good player. You could tell the difference between the 2023 season, I mean the 2022 season, and last season. You could just watch him play. But I agree with Jim 100%. He's a guy I think he should be on the field. He should play 24/7, and I think Jim's going to do everything he can to keep him on the field and get him on the field.
Now, we probably won't have Nick Chubb healthy enough for week one. What do you think about this Nyheim Hines ad?
Well, I like our running back room. I mean, I really like our running back room because when you looked at it, even last year with Nick going down, those guys still were able to pick it up and keep it going. I mean, it's got a lot to do with that offensive line. I mean, because everybody knows in the league, I mean, we've had a great offensive line. It's going to be interesting to see because obviously the offensive line have lost their leader. He's gone to coach with his son right now, but I like our running backs. I like our running back room, but we can only pray and hope that Nick can come back from that injury because, Gabby, that's two surgeries. It's either two or three surgeries. I know two for sure.
Yeah.
On that knee.
And wasn't that the same knee?
It's the same knee. That's what I'm talking about, on the same knee, and that's going to be tough. I mean, but Nick, if anyone could do it, Nick Chubb could do it. But I just sent a message out to Nick and just tell him this. Nick, you don't need to squat as much as you're squatting right now. I mean, we don't need you to do that. We need you to just take it easy right now. Just squat normal. I hate squats
anyway.
You're
just trying to eliminate competition in the weight room when you step in there.
No. I don't squat. Never have squat. Never will squat. I mean, I just hate it to even look at those squats. But, you know, Nick loves it, and I just want to let him know he don't need that. But if we can get him back healthy, I mean, we can get him back playing the way he's been playing before he got hurt, Gabby. It could just be a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. But to answer your question, I'm pretty happy with all those running backs because I think all of them can get the job done, and I think we will be okay with them.
Let's take a break. We'll be back with more Hanford Dixon Show right after this. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. We are breaking down free agency. We're going to chat a little bit about the draft. And I want to get your thoughts on David Njoku. What are you excited for him this season?
Gab, he is just become a matchup nightmare for defensive players. And what I mean by that is he's such a big guy. I mean, he's big, he's muscular, he's fast, and he's too big for what – let's just put it this. Normally you have linebackers to try to cover tight ends. No, not with this guy. He's just too big and he's too fast. They can't handle him. Now then the next person you look in the secondary, you look at a safety probably trying to cover him. Normally the safeties can't handle him because they're too slow. Then you want to put a corner on this guy, and the corner, he's just too big for a corner. So that's what I mean by David Njoku is just a matchup nightmare. And he's really starting to play and really starting to come into his own as an offensive player. And he's a weapon. I mean, he's a weapon, and he's a good weapon for a quarterback to have. So that's the good thing. Deshaun's got David Njoku. He's got Amari Cooper. We just brought in Jerry Jeudy. We got Elijah Moore, who is a fast. We got Tillman. Remember, we brought Tillman in, and I always liked Tillman. He's another big, big target. But we have a ton of weapons on offense that could really, really help Deshaun or whoever is that quarterback. So we should be okay right there.
Speaking of big targets, Marvin Harris coming out of Ohio State. Anybody else stand out to you with the draft coming up?
Boy, you talking about Marvin. I have him. I think he's not going to last long in this draft. I don't think he'll go last past the fourth pick. And I think the Cardinals have the fourth pick. So this kid could play. He's a big kid. He's ready to go. But also, now, I wasn't happy with what the Bears did, obviously. And I talked about it earlier. We talked about it earlier, trading Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers. First of all, I don't want to see him in the AFC North, but he is there. But now,
yeah, what are the Bears going to do? Yeah,
well, they don't have a choice right now. They got to go with Caleb Williams, the quarterback out of USC. Or they got to go with this kid Daniels, who's a quarterback out of LSU. It's got to be either one or two of those guys. That's probably who they're going to draft, because they just don't have a quarterback right now. And they have to go with those. And then you got the Patriots, who Jones, they don't have a quarterback. So they're going to go with this guy Drake May out of North Carolina. So that's going to be their guy. But listen to this. There's the tight end out there. And I was just talking about David Njoku, but Georgia has got a kid. And this kid, Brock Bowers, he is just he is going to be a phenomenal tight end in the National Football League. So he's a guy that I think is going to be pretty, pretty good. And then you got outside linebacker from the University of Alabama, Dallas Turner, who is going to be a beast. So it's a lot of good players out there, I think, as far as this draft is concerned. And that's why the draft is just so exciting, because, you know, you get a chance to watch these young kids. They're coming out of college, and they get a chance to play in the National Football League. And that's where, you know, it all started in peewee football, high school football, college football, and then to the National Football League. That's where it all goes for these guys. It's exciting.
Does it get you inspired to get back in the gym after your week off?
Yes.
On the cruise?
Yes, because I didn't hit it at all. I took the whole week off. And you know what? You would bring that up, wouldn't you?
Listen, the only thing is I was sick all week, so you and me both got to hit the weights.
Oh, you're a runner, though.
I run.
You haven't had that good sweat in a while, have you?
What, the lifting sweat?
No. When you get out there and you run, you like that, because I used to be a runner. I used to run like 7-8 miles a day.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, that sweat,
finish,
yeah, it's just unbelievable.
It's healing.
Oh, it is.
We'll get back on our stuff.
Yeah.
We got to take one more break, Hanford. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. Hanford, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the Steelers. Let's pick them apart a little bit. Let's Kenny Pickett them apart, shall we? I'm just kidding.
No.
They traded Pickett, got rid of Rudolph. Obviously, they get Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, but they also got rid of one of their top receivers, Deontay Johnson, and then they got Dante Jackson.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You get those, I'm the same way. I get those kind of mixed up a little bit.
But they had George Pickens and Kenny Pickett at one time. Like, it was getting
this is the thing about those Pittsburgh Steelers. They have always been a thorn in our side. I mean, they really have. And looking at them last year, everybody said this team was dead. I mean, they were just dead. But it all starts with their head coach, Mike Tomlin. I mean, he figures out a way, he finds a way to keep this team right in the thick of everything. And again, I mean, two quarterbacks, not one. He get rid of all that stuff that he had as far as a quarterback last year, and he bring in two top guys, Russell Wilson, and then he also, Justin Fields, two guys that want to go there. And my understanding is, Justin Fields went to the front office and told them that he wanted to, I mean, because they had put him on hold, and he said he wanted to go to the Steelers, and obviously the Steelers wanted him pretty bad. And when you give Mike Tomlin and his coaching staff a team like he inherited these two guys, it's going to be awesome for those guys. Now, we ain't even talked about the defense. They brought in two very, very important parts to that defense. They got a linebacker who I have a lot of respect for, played for the Baltimore Ravens last year, Patrick Queen, who is just unbelievable on making plays. I mean, he's a guy like JOK, like him, very smart linebacker, always seems to be in the right place at the right time, know how to get to the right place. And then they got a cornerback, Dante Jackson, who they acquired through that Carolina deal. He's the guy that's going to come in and help this football team. So the Pittsburgh Steelers are just going to be really, really tough. But again, I said it before, that whole AFC North is going to be tough. One of the toughest divisions in football. And again, I think every single team will and should make the playoffs this season.
Of the AFC North.
Of the AFC North. They're strong.
They're very strong. And we got to have your boy Ozzie on. Chat with us a little bit about.
We will, because he don't have a choice. I mean, he's got to come in, because he and I, we got a couple of golfing trips lined up and ready to go here.
Oh,
shortly.
Of course you do.
Yes.
Well, he's always a great interview, and it's good to talk shop with him. We got a lot going on.
And would you accept my apology if I was a little sluggish today? Again, I'm just getting back from that cruise.
So. I know you're filtering out some of that crown. It's good to see you back, my friend.
Some people say I'm no good.
Yes.
Crazy as can be.
Thanks for watching the Hanford Dixon Show. We'll
I
see you next
drunk
time.
In the morning, stone in the afternoon. I ain't asking nobody for nothing. See you later, y'all.